But I would always love you. She can do it. She can. The greatest line she ever came back with, and I was having a serious discussion with her. I said, honey, how come you never tell me when you have an orgasm? She said, you're never there. Of course you're there. Where else could you be? And she went into this, you know. Your teachers are the ones who can send you into those places. You know? My children are really good at it. My daughter Serena is the absolute best at it. You know? She can stand there. She said, there's a rumor in our school that you actually wrote a book about how to raise children. Tell me it isn't true. She can get to me in any moment. She really knows how to do it. Her soulmate is her sister, Summer. They were having breakfast one morning. The funniest line I've ever heard any of my kids give. And I was making breakfast. My wife was away working on a book of hers. And I heard Summer say to Serena at the breakfast table at 6:30 in the morning, if you didn't have any feet, would you wear shoes? Serena said, that's ridiculous. What are you talking about? What are you even talking to me this early in the morning for? Even if I didn't have any feet, would I wear shoes? Of course not. Summer said, then why are you wearing that bra? Woo! They can be tough. I promised you that I would talk about consciousness and give you the seven principles, and I want to give those to you. Point B on the consciousness is called group consciousness. Individual consciousness is point A. That's the ego. Consciousness here of B is in the middle, is group consciousness. This is where we identify ourselves with the groups that we belong to. And group consciousness is a consciousness which is the source and cause of virtually all wars on our planet. This is where I am the groups that I've been assigned to. I am the culture that I grew up in. I am the geographical boundary. I was born on this side of the river. You were born on that side of the river. Therefore, you are my enemy and I must kill you. This is what's going on in all different places on the planet today. I am Jewish. You are Christian. Therefore, I am your enemy if I live in the Middle East. I am at war with you if I'm a Muslim and you're whatever. I am male, you are female, therefore we are in conflict. We're part of these different groups. I am northern, you are southern. I am conservative, you are liberal. I am Democrat, you are Republican. It's this dichotomy, it's this division, it's this identification with the groups that we've been assigned to. Group consciousness. It's a higher level than ego consciousness, but it's still a very low level of awareness, and it's one that we have to move out of and understand that we live on a round planet. And on a round planet, there's no choosing upsides. We are one. And that's what point C is on consciousness and what I've been leading to all afternoon. Point C represents mystical consciousness, unity consciousness, God consciousness, spiritual consciousness, healing consciousness. This is an awareness that I am connected to rather than separate from. Rumi put it this way. He's one of the people I dedicated Wisdom of the Ages to and who wrote through me in here. He said, when you are dead, seek for your resting place, not in the earth, but in the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. He put it this way. He said, I, you, me, he, she, they, these are distinctions which do not exist in the garden of the mystics. And I'd like you to think of yourself as a flower in the garden of mystics for a moment. And all that is possible when you become someone who's living at mystical consciousness. Mystical consciousness is one in which you have the ability to be able to raise your level of vibration from 20,000 cycles a second, where disease and accidents and harm and discord and disharmony exist, into a place of bliss. And you do it by the only way you can come to a knowing, and that is through making conscious contact with God. It's not learning about God, it's coming to know God. The first day that Deepak Chopra, my dear friend, whom I've put tapes out together with, we have some of them here, creating your world the way you want it to be and so on. We've spoken together in venues all over the world. He's one of my closest friends. And when we met in 1990 in person, the first thing he said to me when I walked up to him and he was standing around a group of people who he was signing books for was, he put his hands together and he bowed. This is a medical doctor. They usually don't bow when they see me. Often they give me half a peace sign, all right? And he said a Sanskrit word that means, I celebrate in you the place where we are both one. It's namaste. Namaste. Say it. Namaste. It's a wonderful greeting. It's an awareness that we both share something, even though we may look like we're in separate bodies. And he handed me a book to read that night. And the book that he handed me is a book that I read from every day. It was written by a man named Patanjali, who lived in the 3rd century before Christ. And the book's called How to Know God. And in this book, there was a passage. And I took this passage and I outlined it and I underlined it and I had it laminated and I carried it with me and I still carry it with me. But I know it by heart. And it's about inspiration. And it's the 4th or 5th essay that I wrote about in here, in Wisdom of the Ages. He says, and the word inspiration, of course, comes from in spirit. The word information comes from in form. This has been called the information age. So we are loaded with information. We have more information accessible to us than any group of people ever has in our history. And yet we still have enormous numbers of struggling populations and people who don't understand this spiritual message. It isn't information that is going to bring us out of it. It's inspiration. It's moving into in spirit because it's the spirit that gives life. That which is seen, that is the whole physical universe, that which is seen hath not come from that which doth appear. The source of everything is not over here. It's in here, in the world of spirit. And he put it this way, and these words really resonate with me. He said, when you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all of your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitations. Your consciousness expands in every direction. And you find yourself in a new and a great and a wonderful world. And then he said something that I've never forgotten. He said, dormant forces, faculties, and talents come alive, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. Forces that you thought were not accessible to you come alive, and you discover yourself to be a far greater person than you ever dreamed yourself to be. And the way that we make this inspiration work is through something called conscious contact. It's called coming to know God. I was honored to participate in a collection of writings which we have some here, called The Experience of God. Myself, Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, Louise Hay, Ram Dass, Bernie Siegel, Scott Peck, Joan Borzenko, and 30 others, people I'm honored to be in there. We all wrote about our direct experience, our direct conscious contact with God. I call this bathroom reading. And I mean, you put it in your bathroom and you read from it each time you're in there. And it's like, it's part of the metaphor of what I've been speaking about all afternoon. You bring spirit to that which is leaving. Okay? Would you like a copy? There you are. Enjoy it. The experience of God. There's 40 of us that wrote in there. And making conscious contact with God through this thing called inspiration. When I'm inspired, I never ever get concerned about being hungry. I never get tired when I'm inspired. When I'm writing, I can go away and write for day after day. I sleep an hour a day, 2 hours a day. Drink nothing but water. Don't feel hungry. The right people always seem to show up. I go to the mailbox and the right, the thing that seemed to be missing before is always right there for me. The telephone rings, it'll be someone calling. And I wrote about some of that in Wisdom of the Ages. When I was stuck on something when I was away writing this one of these essays, Deepak picked up the phone and only two people in the whole world knew my phone number where I was in seclusion. It was my wife and my other wife, Deepak. And I told him that, and I wrote about it in there, and he gave me something in that talk that it just put, like, they say it in Sanskrit, that when the student is ready, the teachers appear. When you're ready, it's just a question of, and the moment that you're ready, you have this knowing. And when you have this knowing, you almost, but not quite, it borders on, you almost get arrogant about it. You have an awareness that I can attract now into my life what is missing. And I put my attention on that and my energy on it, and I stop giving energy to the things I don't believe in. Because when you put your attention or your energy on the things that you don't believe in, then what you don't believe in is what continues to show up. And when you put your energy and your attention on what you do believe in, then what you do believe in shows up. Because as you think, so shall you be. So if your thoughts are on what is, and you don't like what is keeps showing up. Even though you despise it. If you despise what always has been, and that's what you think about is what always has been, this is the way I've always been, I've always had this kind of a difficulty with this particular ailment or whatever. Even though you hate having the ailment, if that's where your thoughts are, you will attract more of it into your life. And if your thoughts are on what they want for you or what they expect for you, even though you despise it, if what you think about is what expands is true, then what they want for you will continue to expand into your life, even though you despise it, even though you hate it. It's when you shift out of and off of what you don't want, what is, what always has been, the circumstances of your life, what others want or expect from you, and learn to put your energy and your attention on what you want and what you intend to create with passion, then it begins to show up in your life. It's astonishing. And the interesting thing about it, and I was going to talk more about it here, but I won't have time, is like, what is the context in which you can move out of individual and group consciousness and into mystical consciousness or unity consciousness? It is only available, as far as I know, through this process called meditation. You can't do it any other way. And with meditation, the very opening essay in here was from Blaise Pascal and Pythagoras, two of the greatest scientists who ever walked among us. And Pascal in the 16th, 17th century said, all of man's troubles stem from his inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Most of us just don't know how to get quiet. And it is like, I tell people, don't learn to meditate or don't practice meditation because it will make you feel younger, which it will. It'll even make you look younger, which it will, because it takes the stress right out of your skin, right out of your life. Don't learn to meditate and practice meditation on a daily basis because it will give you the equivalent of a night's rest in 20 minutes, which it will. But learn and practice meditation because it is the only way that you can transcend the duality of the physical plane.